ranchers, and they test their products in the surrounding jungle. They invite prospective customers out for hunts, and thus they have dormitories on site for the purpose. But underneath those are secret dormitories, accessible only through a few well-guarded entry points like the one we used. Energy usage is thereby concealed. We also have a private docking bay and smuggler's den with an entrance camouflaged from the air. Most light freighters would fit in there. We do plenty of business in that bay. All of it hidden from the Empire and other clans. And the money is laundered through Uthiel outfitters.
I thought Han would be impressed with their setup. I sure was. And the Empire truly has no clue you're doing this? Lynette snorted in derision, which sounded like a phlegmy sneeze through the Rhodian snout.
I'm sure they have their suspicions. We suspect every other clan of similar practices.
We arrived at a dock that appeared at first to be unguarded, but I sensed somehow that wasn't the case. After all the security I saw getting this far, I couldn't imagine they'd leave this wide open. Lynette caught my expression and interpreted it correctly.
There are guards. They're in stealth armor.
Oh, really? I've never seen stealth armor. Lynette made a noise similar to a chortle, but closer to a digestive problem.
Hence the name.
It reminded me of Ben's assertion that your eyes can deceive you. The Force would help me pierce through such illusions, if I could learn how. Do you manufacture the stealth armor yourself?
Yes. Uthiel is quite diversified. It doesn't have shipyards or produce heavy artillery, but almost anything smaller can be found here. Save, perhaps, blasters. Other manufacturers are more efficient at producing such basic weapons. We produce a broad range of higher quality items in smaller batches. You will see more inside. Come.
We stepped out of the speeder and onto an empty concrete dock, with a single door waiting at the back of a concavity lined with automatic blaster turrets and presumably the aforementioned guards in stealth armor. With so much firepower concentrated here, I wondered if even a Jedi could make it to the door unscathed. No one would penetrate it without fully committing to heavy assault. Lynette paused at the door, spoke some words at a console, had her hands and eyes scanned, and the door chimed as it opened. I followed after. Once through the door, we found ourselves in a small, magnetically sealed room. Lynette pointed first at the floor, where there was some discoloration, and then at the ceiling, where there were matching stains.
If anyone were to get this far without receiving a go-ahead from the door outside, the weighted ceiling drops down quite fast. Squashed at least one Chatsa spy.
The inner door chimed before opening, and a narrow hall provided more opportunities for defense before finally leading us to a rather luxurious meeting room, sporting tables surrounded by thickly upholstered chairs. The room was carpeted and chandeliered, and attended by liveried servants rather than droids. Even the tablecloths looked posh. I got the impression the Rhodians had gone to some effort to make it smell pleasant to humans, but the competing scents of Rhodians and florals made the air difficult to breathe. Several Rhodians waited to be introduced, all employees from different divisions of Uthiel Outfitters, ready to discuss what business they could with the representative of the Rebel Alliance. And I admit, I found that thought enjoyable. Leaving aside the odor, this sort of work was much more entertaining than moisture farming. Long tables lined the perimeter of the room, laid out with weapons instead of a buffet. After a drink and a brief chat during which I complimented the Chekku security arrangements I'd seen thus far, they gave me a tour of the weapons, some of them prototypes, and several of these were presented as gifts. I got a proximity stun mine, a handheld EMP detonator, and a needle gun I never intended to use. Thinking of Nakari's slug gun, however, manned her assertion that it would work in situations where blasters might not, I asked if they might have anything with that kind of punch behind it. Something with high-velocity, armor-piercing rounds. One of the weapons engineers said he could secure something for me to look at the next day. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, I'd like to see the smuggling bay that Lynette mentioned earlier, before we make any deals. Your equipment is fine, but it will be useless if we can't get it off-planet safely. They agreed that would be best, and as it was getting on toward planetary nightfall and the end of their shift, they said Lynette would take me to the bay and they'd continue with me the next day. R2 and I followed Lynette into a busy cargo bay located underneath Uthiel Outfitters, but on the opposite side of the dock from where we had entered. There we took another speeder, a few clicks down a much wider tunnel, until we reached a giant lift suitable for loading large pallets or even vehicles. Lynette drove the speeder directly into the lift, and we took it up to a large cavern carved out of the rock. Lynette pressed a single button to activate a sliding door, which opened up a slice of cliffside in a narrow canyon. The other side loomed above, already cast in shadow under clouds painted pink from the setting sun, and Lynette led us to the edge and pointed up.
"We are low enough that the lip of the other side provides a shadow from satellite surveillance. You would enter and exit the canyon from that direction," she said, gesturing to the left. "Follow it to the end, and you will emerge at a waterfall that is something of a tourist destination just 10 clicks from the spaceport.